Good morning. Welcome back from Christmas. Hope everybody had a great celebration of Jesus' birth. And I'm glad, thinking back on that, I'm glad that it didn't stop there. That's not the end of the story, right? That he was born, but he was born to die for our sins. And, you know, that's something that's easily overlooked. And throughout the holidays, we kind of get in this... We get in this rush of consumerism, right? We get, what am I going to get this year? What is so-and-so going to buy me? What are my parents going to do? Did they really hear that I wanted this? Did they understand the necessity behind me having this thing or this or that thing? We kind of get in this mentality of, I want this and I want that and I should get that. And man, I sure hope I get that. Okay, we're going to do a little project, kind of survey, if you may. All right? And I want you guys to follow along with me, okay, this morning. I'm going to ask a bunch of simple generic questions. Okay? Real simple questions. And you're going to raise your hand if you're yes or no to them, okay? So if you're yes, you're going to raise your hand. All right? But if you're no, you're not. You're going to raise your hand. Makes sense? Pretty simple, right? And generic. So I'm just going to ask a bunch of questions. And I want you to answer them honestly to yourself and to everybody around you, because you're going to get to see, in response to these questions, you're going to get to see who actually answers yes and who answers no, just by a show of hand, all right? So when I ask a question, you raise your hand. And we're going to, you know, we're moving into a new year, right? And we're about to say hello to 2013. Can you believe it? It's crazy. Years just keep going by faster, I feel like, as I get older. So we're going to do a little survey right here before we start moving into 2013. So here we go. By a show of hands, remember to answer these honestly, please. By a show of hands, who got a new pair of shoes in 2012? Look around. Look how many hands are raised. Okay, put your hands down. Almost the whole room. By a show of hands, who joined a social network in 2012? I'm going to raise my hands too. I did get a new pair of shoes, by the way. New pair of cowboy boots. I'm in Texas now, y'all. Come on. By a show of hands, who got an iPhone in 2012? By a show of hands. Look around. Look around. Just gauge how many hands are up, all right? So what the most is so far seems to be a new pair of shoes, or maybe social network. By a show of hands, who traveled over Thanksgiving and Christmas in 2012? Come on. Get them high. There you go. Pretty good amount of hands. Okay, here we go. Everybody listen up. Hands down. Hands down. By a show of hands, who went, be honest, who went to at least one small group in 2012? Right on. Right on. That's encouraging. That is encouraging. Okay, hands down. By a show of hands, you may have to think about this for a second. By a show of hands, who attended more than 5 wake services in 2012? Right on. Look around. Look around at the hands. That should encourage y'all. That's awesome. By a show of hands, this may apply to the guys more than the girls. By a show of hands, who played at least one video game in 2012? Look at the girls. Girls are like, oh yeah, okay. Oh, I hate video games. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that towards y'all. It's just, I just don't like them. Hey, okay, hands down. Okay, we're going to get a little serious. We're getting a little serious. By a show of hands, who memorized at least one Bible verse in 2012? Pretty good. Way to go. That's awesome. Okay, hands down. Hands down. And I'm okay, I want you to be honest with yourself, okay? I want you to really think about this. The funny ones are over. By a show of hands, Who shared the gospel with someone who didn't know Jesus in 2012? Okay. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Okay. Good job. All of you who did. By a show of hands, this is something to celebrate. By a show of hands, who accepted Jesus in 2012? Yeah. I just got goosebumps. A little chill action. That's awesome. I'm serious. I'm not making that up. It went up my spine. Hey, you know, we started off with, what was the first question? The first question was, by show of hands, who got a new pair of shoes in 2012? Raise your hand again if you got a new pair of shoes in 2012. Look at how many hands are raised, y'all. Okay. By a show of hands, okay, put them down. And we'll jump to, by a show of hands, who shared the gospel with someone who didn't know Jesus in 2012? Okay, that's a good amount, which is super encouraging, but it's not as many. And by a show of hands, who accepted Christ in their heart for the first time in 2012? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Anybody else? 14. That's awesome, y'all. That's really awesome. Welcome to the kingdom, the family of God. That's awesome. And I know some of those questions are real generic. They're simple, you know, a new pair of shoes, social network, all the things we're used to nowadays. And we go out and we just do, and buy, and get, and I want this, and I want to feel this way, and I think that will make me feel this way. And I want others to know how I feel if I'm having a horrible day, or who likes me? Am I popular? And the world, okay, the world has so convinced us up to this point that this life is all about me. The world has easily convinced and is trying to easily convince me, Will Heidel, that the world is about Will Heidel. That this life is about me, what I can have, what I can do, how much money I can make, what new pair of shoes I can buy, what next iPhone I can buy. Anybody buy the iPhone 5 this year? A few people. It's all about what is the next greatest thing. What is the next greatest thing? And can I have that? Can I get that? Because it so simply can be all about me. Because we live in a consumeristic society. Consumerism is huge. Especially in Dallas, Metroplex, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Money everywhere, stuff everywhere. And the world is trying to convince us that we need those things to have life. And so we go out and we do those things. We buy those things. We buy them for other people, which is not a bad thing. Giving gifts to people on Christmas is not a bad thing. I love that Harrison said, tell somebody what your favorite gift that you gave somebody. Not that you got, I mean, we did both, but he also threw in that you gave somebody. And we all know that the greatest gift that was given was Jesus Christ. Eternal life is found in him. It would be really easy, you guys and girls, for me to come to Wake every Sunday and to hear a specific message, okay, Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about husbands loving your wives, talks about marriage, okay? And I'm a husband currently and a father, and it would be easy for me to come to Wake and hear Harrison teach a message on husbands love your wives as Christ has loved the church and has gave himself up for her. It'd be easy for me to come and to sit in one of these chairs, to hear that message, to go get in my car, go home. My wife has got lunch ready for me on the table. My daughter's playing in the living room floor. I come home and I choose based on how I feel. Maybe I've just had a kind of an off morning, and I choose to be me focused and how I feel in the moment. And I come home and my wife has prepared me lunch. My daughter's sitting there playing, wanting me to play with her on the ground. And it'd be easy for me to come home after hearing that message, sit on the couch, not say a word to my wife, turn on ESPN, and just sit there. My daughter's sitting there playing on the floor and pay no attention to her. It'd be so, please hear me, it'd be so easy to do that. Trust me. You want to know why? Because I've done it. I've heard a message at church before and gone home and never applied it to my life. I'm guilty of that. I am. The point I want to make today, I want to talk about what it means to get in the game. Okay? Get in the game. I want to talk about what it means to not merely hear that God's word, to not merely hear what it says and to learn about it, but to actually go and do it and do what it says. I want to talk about what it means to get in the game. The world will tell me that if I make this amount of money, if I buy this new pair of cowboy boots, if I buy this new car, this house, I'm able to save this amount of money so that someday I can just explode our living and buy this huge, nice million-dollar home. And I go to church and I check it off, I check that box off, and I memorize this amount of verses. And I go to wake, I don't miss a single wake, then the world would probably tell me as a Christian that I'm doing pretty well, that I've got it all together. But there's a big difference that I want you to see this morning in between hearing the word and actually doing it and applying it to your life. There are roughly, okay, on a normal Sunday when there's not holidays going on, there's about 300 of you guys, junior high students, maybe even a little more, who come to Wake every Sunday. Majority of you attend small group every week, as we saw earlier when I asked who attended a small group this year. And you hear about God, and you hear about Jesus, you hear about the Bible, you hear about memorizing Scripture, you hear about using your words to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, loving one another. That Jesus is Lord and he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic. That prayer is important. That humility is important. That studying the Bible is how you grow spiritually. Forgiving other people, asking for forgiveness when you've hurt somebody. Etc., etc., etc. Down the line. You hear about these things. With your ears, you hear. You come and you sit here in a seat and you hear that. You hear it. But according to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, just hearing the word of God is not going to cut it. It's not. You know, when I was preparing this message, it's a pretty simple message, but at the same time, I want to make you guys feel a little uncomfortable this morning. And it's not because I don't like you. It's not because one of you hit me in the face out there and I hold resentment towards you, okay? It's because I believe that God wants to do amazing things through 300 junior high students in Dallas, Texas. If you just allow His Spirit to move in your heart and you take His word and you don't just hear it, but you do something about it. You can go buy a new pair of shoes. You can go join a social network. You can go do all these things that the world is saying, that is what life is all about, but I'm going to tell you, it's not. At the end of the day, you're just going to want more, and it's never going to satisfy. I'll give you an example. My wife and I went to Kansas City, Missouri for Christmas. Her parents are from there. They lived there. It was a great, great week. Really cold. On our way back, okay, being a family man now, being a husband and a father, and I've got my second baby on the way, by the way, and our family's growing, okay? And in the car, I'm sitting here, and my wife, we kind of switched driving, okay? So I was driving for a while, and then she switched and took over. So I'm in the passenger seat, and my daughter's in the back watching Dora the Explorer, and we're sitting there, and I'm just like, gosh, man, these are the moments as a husband and a father that I love, and I want to document these moments. I do. So I pull out my iPhone, okay? Yes, I have an iPhone. And I'm, like, searching for, like, an app that you can post multiple pictures and then Instagram them, right? You can kind of add effects to them, make them look cool. You guys know what Instagram is. And so I'm not talking to people who don't. And so I found one that's like InstaFrame. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so InstaFrame. So I'm just sitting there, right? And I'm like wanting to document these moments because I know that as a believer, okay? And the point of me telling you this story is not to put emphasis on InstaFrame, okay? But it's to show y'all that as a father and as a husband, I am called to love my wife as Christ has loved the church, and I'm called to lead my family and to just make memories and to love them and to share my love for them with other people, to show my respect for them as my wife, that the respect that she deserves, and my daughter, the respect that she deserves. So I'm going to love on my family in those ways. And they're fun ways, you know, it's cool. The iPhone, you can use it to create memories with your family. It's great. But I know that God's word and being a believer and follower of Jesus Christ has called me to love others well. So you take any example, okay, loving others or using your words correctly or to share the gospel, using your words wisely to share the gospel or walking in a humble manner, forgiving one another, asking for forgiveness, hearing that Jesus is not a liar, a lunatic, he is Lord. But according to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, this is what it says. It's just hearing the word is not going to cut it. We must be doers of the word. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. When I get up in the morning, I go into the bathroom after a long, nice night of sleep. I look in the mirror. It's one of the first things I look in the mirror, and I see maybe a little bed head. You know, maybe part of my hair is like sticking out this way, and the other part's like that way. And maybe my beard's grown a little bit overnight, and I need to trim it up a little bit, clean it up a little bit. Connor Sneddon, you know what I'm talking about. And I need to brush my teeth. I got bad breath. Maybe I've, you know, got a huge zit right here on my cheek that popped up in the middle of the night somehow. Hopefully I don't get those anymore, but hey, you know, it happens. You look in the mirror, right? And sometimes, and y'all are at a ripe age, where you guys are right in the middle of being faced with a lot of decisions that you got to make on your own. And you got one of two choices, right? You're going to either hear the word and just hear it and come to church and just hear it, or you're going to hear it and do something about it. And you guys have a lot of decisions to make at your schools, on your athletic teams, in your homes, with your friends. Whatever you may be doing, you have a lot of decisions to make that could either glorify God or not. Glorify God. And it says, be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he looks like. That's ridiculous. For me to go in to the bathroom in the morning and look at myself in the mirror and then turn away immediately and forget what I look like, that doesn't make any sense. But what it's saying here about God's word is that God's word is going to show you and reveal to you your imperfections and your sin. It's going to show you what is not glorifying to God, what is not okay. If you can think of a sin in your life right now that you're struggling with, God's not okay with it. I'm just going to be frank with you. He loves you, and he doesn't want you to continue in that sin. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you to continue living in that sin. But God's word is going to do that, y'all. It's going to reveal to you your sin. And for a lot of people, that's not very fun. And it's not. You're right. Sometimes in the moment, it's not fun to realize that I got sin in my life and that I cleaned myself up a little bit. But it doesn't stop there, because he also gives us instructions, teachings, commandments, so that we can get rid of the imperfection, clean closet, and then get right with Jesus and become more like Christ on a daily basis. And that's the doing part. So hearing and seeing and revealing your and having your sin revealed to you through reading and studying God's word and listening to it, being taught here on Sunday mornings or in small group, that's one thing. But then turning right around and actually reading God's commandments and learning them and memorizing them and looking at what Jesus taught and how he lived his life, we're to take those things and we're to actually go and put it into practice. Because I'm going to be honest, you guys. If you go out and you come, okay, first, let me backtrack. If you go on Sunday to church, to Wake, or big church, whatever it is, and you go to small group, and those are the boxes you're checking off as a Christian, and then those are your God moments, your God time, okay? Those are your mirrors, okay, that you're looking into, and then you walk away from those things the rest of the week and you just go do and live however you want, you don't look any different than anybody else in this world. I'm just going to be honest. You don't look any different. Because the world doesn't think they need Jesus. The world does not look at God's word and want to see their sin revealed to them, want to see that there's got to be more to life than just how I'm living right now. And there's got to be forgiveness for how I'm living. There's got to be a second chance at how I'm living. I want other people in this world to recognize that you spend time with Jesus every day. And I'm not just saying your quiet time for 30 minutes in the morning or whenever you do it at night before you go to bed. I'm saying when you're walking to class, do you spend time with Jesus? Do you pray to him? Do you talk to him? Do you let him know how your day is going, how you're feeling, how you would rather feel if you can just really just focus in on what his word says and be encouraged by it? Do you take little note cards with scriptures that you're memorizing? Do you stick them in your pocket and carry them with you throughout the halls of your school and just pull it out? And I was texting, I used to work in K-Life, all right, and back in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and there was this kid, the sophomore in high school. He was a sophomore in high school, now he's a junior. And at the time, we were hanging out a lot, doing a lot of life together. I just got to pour into him a lot and love on him. Great, great guy. His name's Andrew. And I was just texting with him this morning. He was texting me, congratulate me on having baby number two. And so I got into a conversation. I said, hey, man, how are you? I just asked him simply, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. Just life's normal, so it's good. And I said, well, how's your time been spending in God's word? He said, it's good. I've been, and I didn't expect this, you guys. I really didn't. It was really encouraging. He said, it's good. When I go to school, I've been going to school a little earlier. He goes, when I get there, I've been reading a chapter out of Romans every morning that I get there. I said, man, that's awesome. That got me super excited. And then I was like, hey, I would encourage you to take a verse, just one verse from each chapter of Romans and memorize it. Write it down and memorize it. And he texted me back and he said, well, actually, I have been doing that. But I've been carrying, I haven't necessarily been memorizing it, but I've been writing it down and I've been carrying it with me in my notes in my phone, in his iPhone. He's got that notes section app, you know, and he's been putting each verse in there. He's been carrying it with him so he can look at it throughout the day. And I'm like sitting here, man, that's awesome. That's what it takes right there. You got to carry it with you throughout the rest of the day and throughout the rest of the week. What are you doing to do the word and not just hear it? That's just a practical example. Wake can be your mirror, but are you remembering what you hear, Harrison or Erica or me or Jason or whoever's up here talking? Do you remember what you hear, and are you doing something about it in response to that? Small group can be your mirror. These leaders are putting in time and effort to make sure that you guys not only hear the words, but you live your lives according to it. They're trying to do the same thing. And that could be your mirror as well. Are you remembering what you're learning and are you applying that to your life? The Bible says to go out and to make disciples of all nations. Are you sharing the gospel with other people? The reason I asked at the beginning who shared the gospel with somebody in 2012 is because that is what life is about, period. Is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have comfort there. It's a little hard initially to go and share your faith. I understand that. But Jesus says, I'm with you. You don't have to be afraid to do it. I'll be with you, even if they don't accept it. Are you making disciples of all nations and sharing the gospel with other people? I want people to recognize that you all spend time with Jesus every day. I want to share another verse with you. Acts 4:13, and we should have it on a slide. This is the book I've been personally reading through the book of Acts over the holidays, and this is what Acts 4:13 says. It says, now when they saw the boldness, and they as the Pharisees and the scribes. Okay, so all the disciples, Jesus is not on earth anymore. He's ascended back up to heaven, and he's given his disciples power through the Holy Spirit to go out and to preach the gospel to the nations. All right? And here are the scribes and the Pharisees, and this is what they say. They say, now when they saw the boldness, okay, of Peter and John, the disciples, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Okay, you know, Peter and John, they were two well-known disciples. Most of you have heard of them probably. These guys were out speaking boldly about Jesus. They didn't have Jesus with them, physically, right there with him. They did. But because of their boldness and because of their ability to convince people that they had actually been with Jesus, they were speaking so boldly and so passionately about who Jesus was and is that these people, these scribes and these Pharisees, they did notice that they were uneducated common men. You got to realize that. There's nothing so great. I wouldn't consider myself this super awesome, have a lot of money, have it all together, strongest man in the world, real smart, all elegant. I'm not very educated. I mean, I got an education, but I'm not the smartest cookie in the world, okay? To be honest. And I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy in an Under Armour polo, jeans, and boots. There's nothing too special about that. The only thing that I want people to recognize about me at the end of the day is that I have spent time with Jesus personally. Whether that's through his word, through prayer, memorizing scripture, spending it with you guys so you can encourage me to go out and love other people who don't know him personally. I want people to recognize that there's 300 or so junior high students in Dallas, Texas that are spending time with Jesus on a daily basis. Because it's not about you. It's not about what you can consume. It's about him. Summing up my message, do not be a bench warmer. And what I mean by that is don't come on Sundays, sit in these colored chairs every week, and then go out and be hesitant to get in the game. God is calling 300 or so of you in Dallas to go out and get in the game, and that game being sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing his word, experiencing his word, meditating on it, applying it to your life, loving other people. Jesus says, blessed are those, rather, who hear the word of God and keep it. What are you doing? How are you going to get in the game in 2013? That's my exhortation, that's my encouragement to you guys. My question leaving you out of here is, how are you going to get in the game? It is a choice. You can choose to sit on the couch, turn ESPN on, and not say a word to anybody in your family. Or you can go in the kitchen when your mom's cooking and you say, Mom, guess what I learned at church today, and I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to start doing that, and I want you to hold me accountable to it. Because I want other people to know that I've spent time with Jesus so that he can be well known by others. Let me pray. God, thanks so much for sending your son to die on the cross, Lord. Thank you that it did not end there. Thank you that you rose on the third day and you ascended into heaven. You are seated at the right hand of God the Father. Lord, you have called us to not merely be hearers of your word, but doers, to actively go out and to preach the gospel to others, to actively apply your word to our lives, to forgive others, to use our words to encourage others, to not spend time doing what we think we need and what we think we need from this world to to make it or to survive or to have life, but Lord, you have the words of eternal life, like Peter said. Where will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. So I pray that we would take that to heart and that these guys and these girls would be encouraged to go out and to be doers of the word. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.